Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Good morning, folks. Hope you are having a great Friday morning. Just remember, let's be careful, a little patient out there driving around. We've got some storms that are projected and predicted for the remainder of today and through the weekend. And we want to try and get through this accident-free, right? We have a great show lined up for you today. We'll visit with Rafael Goyeneche, and we'll talk about a number of things, about jury trials, judge trials, consent decree, consent judgments. We'll talk about the DA's program, No Dice, New Orleans data-informed community engagement, and other topics as well that are influencing the crime rate here in New Orleans. A leading indicator on many fronts of the health and welfare of our community, right? And it's why we spend time visiting with Rafi every week. Because when you look at economic development, when you're looking out there as to companies that you're attempting to lure to this region, it's one of the things that you hear from folks over and over and over again. One of the most important quality of life issues out there. So it's incredibly important that we keep our finger on the pulse of what's actually happening there and how healthy this is throughout the metro area. Not only in the city of New Orleans, but the city of New Orleans truly is the identity of the region, right? Whether you're from Metairie or the North Shore or otherwise, when people from out of town or you're traveling about and they ask where you're from, more often than not, folks say New Orleans. And so for those very reasons, that's why we spend a lot of time talking about these issues. At 11:30, we're going to visit Royd Anderson. Royd is a historian, author, documentary filmmaker. He's a teacher. He teaches at Meisler Middle School. And Royd will talk about this quest that a number of folks coming together to have a memorial for the Mother's Day bus crash victims in City Park. It's been described as the worst vehicular accident in Louisiana history. It occurred on May 9th, 1999. There are a number of big names behind this initiative, so we'll talk to him about that. Cameron Henry, the president of the Louisiana State Senate, we've had the opportunity to visit with him to kind of get a pulse of what's happening in the state legislature. We know that there's been a number of bills that have made their way through the House and through the Senate as relates to insurance reform or tort reform and things of those of that nature, lawyer advertising, other issues, in an attempt to drive insurance rates down. The governor's taken this on as a centerpiece of his legislative effort there, and we'll get a feeling from and we'll probe Cameron Henry to see where we stand with all of this, how much further we have to go as it relates to these issues. And then one of the issues that we're not talking much about, or you don't see a lot of reporting about, is financially, where are we in this state? How healthy are we? Recently, there were some articles in NOLA.com about a topic that I've talked about ad nauseum for a long, long time since I've been on radio, and that's exemptions, tax exemptions. Over $6 billion worth of them. Interesting observation, Richard Nelson, and he's right. When he says this, the more that you give, the more that other people have to pay. Somebody's making up the difference. So the question truly is that how much due diligence is done before we start just throwing these little tidbits out there and providing these carrots out there each and every day for folks to come in? Do we do it in a much more strategic fashion, as what has been talked about by Susan Bourgeois, the LED secretary, so that we're able to measure the return on the investment that we're making? Because this is how you fund government. Should there be more alignment between the state and local taxes? Should we just be able to tax all of the activities, both at the state and local level, together to try and create more uniformity? There has been reluctance to do that. Mostly the same people that are complaining about what they consider a complicated tax system. You know that I've never bought into that argument. These folks know exactly every retail establishment that they have throughout the state of Louisiana and how much gross sales occur at that physical location, what their expenses are at that physical location and the like. And just, you know, sales tax is a real easy calculation. It's based on gross sales, less items exempted. They know that. It's all automated because they do it at the cash register. And it collects the data for them. We talk about this complexity of how this works and everything else is, thankfully, most businesses in this country don't have the antiquated systems that the federal government has. You know, that we've been hearing these nightmare stories as a result of DOGE, of what they're uncovering, that we're in the Stone Age. Now, we are supposedly the leaders in technology around the world, but our own federal government system is in the Stone Age. We're still using COBOL as the computer language. I was taught that at Jesuit back in the mid-70s. I mean, how crazy is that? And, you know, so it's going to be interesting to see what is ultimately going to happen. I'm just glad that we're having more conversation about it, right? And we'll talk to Cameron about that as well. JP Morrell joins us. We continue to scratch our head and continue to be mystified by what the courts are doing relative to motions and pleadings that have been filed as it relates to the New Orleans sanitation contract for the French Quarter and the DDD. This is a bitter power struggle that's going on as to who gets to say what, when, why, and how. What we do know, based on previous communications that we've had and interviews with so many people about this issue, to include Troy Henry, who said to me that he had never talked to the mayor about this contract, which is interesting because he says to others now that he did. In fact, he was the one that stimulated the conversation to be had, and we're still not certain. I mean, how crazy is this? We're still not certain as to how many meetings have been had on this issue. A $73 million contract. In fact, during the course of testimony given by Gilbert Montaño before one of the council committees, he referred to a private meeting after a meeting with the folks that are the ones that have to implement this, that are the frontline folks that deal with this. There was a private meeting. And you should have seen the look on the face of the other folks that were testifying that day. It was telling. It's like, oh, no, the cat's out the bag. Where do we go from here? How does this happen? When most of these same folks in previous contract negotiations had said that the very provisions that we compromised on this time with Troy Henry was not a good business practice for the city, was not something that the city should contemplate relative to these types of contracts or any kind of contract, quite frankly. And yet we have the private meeting and all of a sudden everything's hunky-dory. It all works well. It's all good. And we end up with these things in a contract. Now, I don't know about you, but these are really nice terms, right? And we'll talk, and I'm just, this is not what we're going to ultimately talk about with JP, but I just want to give you a reminder of the backdrop. So the way that it looks, and it's hard to tell because the language is, it's poorly written, quite frankly. One has to wonder whether or not this is intentional or not. the skeptic in me says it is, that we are going to pay Henry Consulting in advance of the services to be provided. So we will pay him in the first week of October for the services that will be provided in October. Interesting. I don't recall. There may have been one, and I mean, insurance contracts you pay in advance, right? Six months for your auto contract. Many of your premises liability insurance contracts and stuff you pay for a year. Some specialty medical contracts you may pay in advance. But for these types of services and other types of services, I don't recall signing a contract that I was going to pay someone in advance of doing something. At least not in full, right? There may be a deposit that is given. They hadn't done this before. So these, in the financial world, when you talk about a reduction in a bond, one would simply ask, well, what is your bonding capacity, and are you having a problem being able to procure a bond? Your liquidity, a bunch of your financial ratios, your ability, or your track record in doing this type of business all goes into the premium base, because it's an assessment of what? Risk, as to whether or not you can perform the services being contracted for or not. When you have these companies that come in and they want these provisions to go away, the first place I'd want to go look, and it's amazing that nobody's asked this question of Mr. Henry: how strong are you financially? Prove to me that you have the capital to support this $73 million contract. How are you going to assemble the equipment that's necessary? You're going to purchase it? You're going to lease it? How's this going to work? How's the maintenance of these vehicles going to be handled? And one would say, well, Newell, you're kind of getting a little onerous and a little intrusive here. Well, I would just simply ask you this. When they start missing your days of picking up your garbage, how upset are you? It would seem to me that their fiduciary obligation is to do one thing, right? Make sure and ensure that whoever gets the contract is capable of fulfilling the provisions of the contract. End of the story. Whatever questions have to be asked should be fair game in order to do the due diligence so that we know that the individual who's being granted this contract has the financial oomph and capability to be able to do so. When you start paying people in the front end for a service that they've yet to provide, it indicates to me, being a guy who's handled finances before, that they don't have the capital invested in this business line sufficient to support itself. So the city, you, the taxpayers, are now the bank. You are now providing working capital for Henry Consulting. Nice gig, right? It's nice to be in a business where the taxpayers are supporting what you're doing. More power to Mr. Henry that he's been able to negotiate this. This really is more about the mayor than it is about Mr. Henry. He goes in and asks, and they deliver. And the question is, why? It's not as though there's not other people that don't have an interest in supplying this service. We have a whole host of folks. Sometimes you might have to pay a little bit more to be able to procure services of a company that's financially suitable, operationally suitable, and has proven themselves to be a five-star service provider. Now, I don't know about you, but when it comes down to critical services, like a sanitation contract, and when the residents, the business owners, and almost unanimous feeling in the quarter that no one, and there have been many, no one has been able to achieve what Sidney Torres has been able to achieve in the French Quarter, one has to wonder. Why? Now, you know what I find interesting? I would suggest or suspect that if this contract came up in the second month of a mayoral administration, still in their honeymoon, we wouldn't be talking about this. Because the moment that these issues would pop up, trust me, they would go away. They wouldn't be there. Because we would be very interested in how we're going to be able to survive this. Now, one of the reasons I think people are so right that this is LaToya Cantrell's world and we're just living in it is because she's got nothing to lose. She's out. She does not have a strong legacy. She's not well liked by many. It's not like there's anything that she's going to be able to do or deliver in the waning months of her administration that's going to make an appreciable difference as to how people view LaToya Cantrell. And I suspect that history is not going to treat her much better than history has treated Ray Nagin. I don't think it's going to change. I don't think that there's going to be things that are going to wear off where people begin to probe and look at some of the things that Ms. Cantrell involved herself in that folks are going to give her a pass, that they give her a second look-see, that they might change their opinion of her. So unfortunately, we are caught in the fourth quarter, almost overtime now, of her administration where she's got nothing to lose. Let me go about taking care of my friends. Let me go about doing that. Let me go about doing whatever I want, when I want, how I want. Doesn't matter what the voters think. I'm not running for re-election. There isn't a singular office out there that she could get elected to. That's how bad her polling numbers are. There's hardly a conversation that I have about politics where people don't ask me about this mayor. And I'm sure a lot of other folks are asked the same question, and I'm sure a lot of other folks' reaction is the same as mine. It's tiresome. I would love to be sitting there with pom-poms and fireworks and things of that sort, celebrating the successes that we've had, that we're knocking it out of the park, that we're batting 750, 775. You don't have about 1,000, right? It's not how it works. You can set that as a goal, but rare is it that people are going to achieve that goal. But I would hope that two-thirds or three-quarters of the times that we're up there, that we're doing the right thing. We're doing the right thing by the entity, the city of New Orleans. We're doing the right thing for the taxpayers, and hopefully that aligns with the right thing for the future and the political side of the mayor. But that's not been it. And it's not been it since early onset, where she was going to walk to the beat of a different drum. And I said this early on in her administration, and I think it's held true. She's an activist. Activists thrive on conflict. The moment that their priority conflicts are resolved, they got to find something else. Now, your immediate reaction would be, well, that's pretty simple. No, it's not. It's not as easy as you think. If you're true to your activist bloodline, it has to be something that's meaningful to you. I'm not sure I say that, but yet I would admit I'm not sure what's meaningful to this mayor. And when I've asked questions of folks who have followed politics for years, it's interesting. Neither are they. And that's telling. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. When we return, we'll visit with J.P. Morrell, New Orleans City Council member, about the most recent Fourth Circuit ruling on a New Orleans sanitation contract for the French Quarter and the DDD. Stay with us. So, folks, we'll continue to cover the saga of the French Quarter DDD sanitation contract. There, almost daily, things pop up that just can't be explained. We try to figure it out, and so I have J.P. Morrell on to collaborate with me to try and figure out how this is going and where it's going. J.P., welcome to the show.
Thanks. I mean, we're back for trash talk again. I mean, you know I do other things besides trash. I'm just saying, you can have me on for the other things I do, but I'm happy to talk about trash again.
Well, as I said, I'm these are head scratchers, right? I just simply don't understand. I mean, how can so many times things pop up with one contract that, you know, you're kind of bamboozled about?
Well, I mean, to start, so obviously you've heard we did an appeal to the Fourth Circuit regarding Mr. Henry violating the suspense of appeal, and the Fourth Circuit denied the request. But really, we were put in a very unfortunate predicament. You can appreciate this. So it was a very unusual motion, because typically people don't violate suspense of appeal. So there was really no governing, there was no governing precedent on how you deal with someone who is publicly stating they're going to violate a suspense of appeal. And the Fourth Circuit denied our request to step in early, but a lot of people reached out to us to ask us to go to the Supreme Court, and we declined to do so, mainly because, as you may have noticed, they didn't issue an opinion. So we have no idea why they denied the request. And one thing I found particularly interesting, and as a lawyer you could appreciate it, on page 9 of the filing by Mr. Henry's attorneys, it has a line that I think you'll appreciate. Because the counsel claims, based on evidence not before this court and which was never presented to the district court, that Henry Consulting will begin operating under a sanitation contract with the city starting on August 1st, this motion is both speculative and entirely premature. I mean, Newell, that's his own lawyer saying our client is yelling to the rafters he's going to start picking up trash on August 1st, but because he hasn't started doing the trash pickup, he could just be talking out of his ass. That's basically what they're saying. And
well, you know,
we didn't get an opinion back from the... Go ahead.
In lease law, there's something called an anticipatory breach, right? And where your conduct is the best evidence of you intending to violate the terms and conditions of a lease. Like, you move all your furniture out, all your clothes out,
right,
and things of that nature, right? And you're not paying your rent. It's a pretty good example of that as well. Well, when you have the mayor, the client, and everyone else saying August 1st, this is happening, kind of looks and sounds and walks and smells like anticipatory breach.
That's what we thought. And further in that same thing, they go, hey, we think that you should not consider this, and you should consider the underlying appeal. And basically our decision as of Thursday was, you know what, game on, we'll take you on that offer. Let's not move forward on this very weird motion to the Supreme Court. We're going to have our lawyers move aggressively and with all speed to have the Paulette Irons case heard by the Fourth Circuit well before that August 1st due date. But I want to move past that for a second, because I think you'll appreciate this because you kind of caused this other thing to happen. Let me kind of spell it out to you. Remember how you and I both spent a lot of time looking over the various issues within the contract that Troy Henry claims is his legal contract for the French Quarter? Mm-hmm. In that contract, there are two ways the contract can be terminated. One is for cause, which is always the case, but there's a second option in that contract, which is for lack of appropriation. And what was filed on first read yesterday and was co-authored by four of the five council members who can vote on the matter is simply an ordinance stating that should the contract ever be deemed to be legal, the council will exercise the option to exit the contract with its terms by de-appropriating the money from Area 5. So at this point, in his own contract, which we hold, as you and I have completely gone through over and over again, all the different problems in that contract, the fact it's got half a bond, the prepay, the changing out the different people, the fact that we now have a partner in the contract under Richards, that they solved their issue, but it's a confidential settlement that the public has no access to. If for some reason we are on Earth to bizarro land and every court rules that all of this stuff is potentially illegal, which we still hold it's not, and we're going to fight in court on those matters, the council always retains the ability, like any legislative body, whether it be the state legislature, a parish council, or a city council, that we can choose to terminate the contract by just not spending the money on the contract.
But then you don't have a garbage contract.
Well,
right?
You have two.
And I don't know that I don't know that gives you the latitude to go and procure the same services from yet another vendor. I mean, you can rebid it.
Well, first off, that measure sits on the calendar until such point as we get a final review from the Supreme Court or appellate court of a body with a final decision. So that's one. Two, that's where Senator Harris's bill comes in the legislature currently. Should that bill pass, Newell, then the French Quarter Management District would have the authority to pick up trash in Area 5 until the council and city can get their act together to rebid a contract. So that ordinance is sitting on the calendar. It's not ripe because obviously that is an ordinance of last resort if the worst mm-hmm. possible outcome happens. But we're fairly confident, and Newell, you've seen the Paul and Irons decision, a judge issuing a ruling, a mandamus ruling, to make a legislative body vote the way she wants to give a contract to someone. If you've taken Civics 101, the judiciary branch cannot tell the legislative branch how to vote. It's that basic.
Yeah. It's a little bit of what's going on across the country right now with judicial activism. I mean, we forget about what the law reads, forget about what procedural or substantive law reads. We just do what we want, when we want, how we want, because we want a certain outcome. We don't know how to get there. We don't have the authority to get there. So we just make stuff up.
That's exactly it. I mean, at the end of the day, like, if you are a judge who wants to affect the law, be a legislator. If I'm a legislator who wants to rule on cases, I run for judge. That's the way it goes. And it's one thing, and you detailed this ad nauseum, Mr. Henry chose to do a mandamus action and to not challenge the validity of the statute. The judge could have ruled, had it been in front of her, whether or not we have the authority to regulate these contracts. And I welcome that fight as well, because that law's been in effect since 2022, and at least two trash contracts have gone out since that law has been passed without incident. But instead, they chose a mandamus action where they told the judge that we want you to make them give us the contract. And the reality is, in order for the council president to sign anything, Newell, the council has to vote on it. But the nature of how legislative bodies operate. And a judge cannot tell a council president how to vote without to sign a document without a vote. And by function of law, by function of the process, trying to do that is trying to dictate an outcome before a vote's been taken. And it's really disappointing that someone who's a former judge would forget how the legislature operates, but apparently sometimes you do.
So let me ask you this. I mean, obviously this has consumed a lot of time for members of the council, and I would assume for members of the administration as well. It's got to affect and impact the mood of everyone. I mean, this is kind of we're getting in these battles and have this friction. Do you ever wonder, what is the end game here with this administration?
Well, I mean, as you might have seen, might have saw yesterday.
Let me add something to that. With the backdrop that the CAO is saying, if it were up to me, I'd rebid the contract.
The CAO, you have the others. CAO as well as the head of DPW both said the same thing.
It's like, okay, these are the folks that have to make it happen, right? They're the operational folks. They're going to implement all of this. They recognize the frailty and the problems within this particular contract, but it doesn't seem like anybody else does in the administration. I mean, and it's like, what are we doing here? Do you feel like you're beating your head up against a wall or something? But I mean, it's crazy.
Well, it's the administration is actively lobbying against Senator Harris's bill that simply creates a safety net to make sure people's trash gets picked up in the quarter. Like, I mean, there is a complete departure from reality in that part of government's job, I would say the essential part of it, is to provide governmental services, make sure that money is being spent properly, and make sure lives are not being impacted. I'm as tired of talking about this contract as anyone, but I have to remind people, this is a $75 million contract that's over the course potentially of 7 years with no exit clause. If this contract had all of the requirements of the other four contracts, if the bond was a full bond, if it was being paid timely, if there wasn't all the shenanigans with who's in, who's out, who's on first, who's on second, doing the contract, and we had the ability with extended time to evaluate and exit the contract if it were bad, we wouldn't be here today. But reason why we're here is because as a council, some of us are coming back, some of us are not coming back, some may not get elected, some may get elected, but you have to make the decision at the end of the term what's best for the city, whether you're there or not in the future. And the idea that you would kneecap an incoming administration, kneecap a council with a contract this bad, and that the mayor, who's not going to be here for the fallout should this contract not work out, triple down on trying to make sure every single set of circumstances is in favor of a contractor and not the residents of the city or the city's financial interest, it is kind of breathtaking. I mean, at the end of any term for an elected official, particularly executives who have contracting authority, you've seen this, Newell. This is when you have to pay the most attention to contracts.
Oh, absolutely.
Because this is when outgoing administrations tie you up with bad contracts that go into other administrations. And the scrutiny we have on trash, it's on everything. We are constantly fighting over contracts at the council level.
No doubt. As always, didn't mean to end your week this way. I'll give you a week off. How about that?
Oh, you know I'll be back next week, hopefully on something that's not trash. But I'll be back whenever you need me, Newell.
Such a giving guy. J.P. Morrell, New Orleans City Council member, thank you so much for your time, your insight, and have a great Mother's Day weekend. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. Well, by the look of the texts that are coming in, folks are equally upset with what they view in, well, I can't even repeat what they're saying about this situation. I think they want it over as well. And I think, a lot of folks are texting in that live in the French Quarter, have never been this clean, has never smelled this fresh. Don't understand why we would want to go to an unknown entity relative to the French Quarter. This is not the first time that this particular company has delivered the services, meaning the company by Sidney Torres. He has proven himself over and over again in that regard in the French Quarter. They've seen it both with and without, and they like the with. And, you know, it's just kind of interesting that we find ourselves where we find ourselves. And, you know, when you go to the tally sheets and the way that people are graded, it's amazing how this company just didn't walk away with any of the performance scores relative to this issue, because no one's ever delivered the service to this extent. All you had to do was go out there and survey French Quarter residents. And that would have been the telltale sign of how you should proceed here. But obviously that's not the outcome that folks were looking for. And when you heard the staff testifying, it was evidently clear that there was an outcome that they had to try and figure out how to support. Well, now that the ship is, you know, sinking figuratively, we're in the fourth quarter, almost overtime of this administration, I think you're going to begin to see a lot of these folks moving on or otherwise, you know, and I'm not certain all of these folks are going to stay to the bitter end here. Because if we continue down this path, I think a lot of these folks, they don't want to have to deal with the conflict. They don't want to have to deal with the risk of maybe doing something unethical, illegal, or otherwise. Not that they would consciously do it, but things come at you from multiple different directions. You get caught up in the heat of the moment. You make a bad decision, and then folks are off and running. And unfortunately, that's where we find ourselves. And it's a sad commentary. I mean, I was just reading, you know, we have our challenges here. We're looking at a summer that's going to be difficult. Justine's, the restaurant in the French Quarter, announced that it's closing. I don't know if you've ever been to Justine's. I've been there at least a half a dozen, maybe even closer to a dozen times. Phenomenal restaurant, great atmosphere, good food, happy people, have spent, you know, days before Mardi Gras there, during Mardi Gras. I mean, you know, hate to see it go. It was a unique place, a unique approach, French cuisine. These are the things that we need to be focused on. And we need to put that place, that gem, in the best position to succeed every day. But we choose otherwise. We'll be right back. Stay with us.